figure out what is our soul. So let's begin with prayer and ask God to join us. Father, we come to you this morning. The very beginning of 2016, what is it you would have for us this year? Do we care? Is it important to you? Is it important to us? Only you can be the one that really speaks into our hearts and makes changes. And so I invite you, Holy Spirit, to be the one that works in your unique way to each of us here. This might just not be a duty that we perform by coming to church because we should, but it might be an offering we give to you. Speak to us. We ask in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Marilee and I just came back to Hong Kong from an emergency visit to her parents in Denver. We returned Friday night. Both of our parents are very old and nearing death. In October, we thought Marilee's dad was going to die very soon. He and his wife, Marilee's mom, they live in a nursing home, what we would call a nursing home. And the staff found him in the hallway in his wheelchair. He was not breathing, and he had no pulse. That's pretty serious when those two things are missing. And so we thought death was imminent, and we jumped on a plane. We were in the U.S. at the time, too, and we just thought, wow, I hope we get there in time to see him before he passes away. And by the time we got there, he had revived dramatically so that he was actually playing his accordion that very same day. And it was pretty exciting to see Grandpa Ed, as we call him. We saw him a few days ago, and for a different reason. He seems to be much revived, and he put on a little private accordion concert for Marilee and I and one of our sons, Joey, Joseph. But this time, we were in the States. We left on an emergency trip because another aging parent was failing in their health, and it was Marilee's mom. And we were arranged tickets hastily, got the earliest flight we could. We hoped to see her before she passed away, and the morning that we were getting on the plane, we got news she had already died. And Marilee didn't get to see her that last time. It's been a tough week for us. But Marilee's mom and her father both are very, very ready to step into eternity. They welcome death. They're not afraid of that, no hesitation. They have spent years, decades, cultivating the health of their soul. And they're very ready to enter into eternity without reservation, with no fear. Do you take the time to cultivate your soul? When it's time for people to speak about you at your funeral, what do you want people to say about you? Or what will they say about you? Will they talk about your activities, or will they talk about your character? Will they talk about the kind of person you are, or the kind of person you have become? I think the latter is more what we're concerned about, is it's not about our activities, it's the kind of person we are. What have we become? We don't talk about the soul very often because we really don't know what it is. If I were to ask you, please define the soul, how would you answer the question? What is your soul? Where is it? How do you relate to it? What's the difference between your will, your thoughts? What is your soul, after all? We're going to sing the song in a little bit. It is well with my soul. Does that mean anything to us? In 3 John, let's see, do we have the slide for that? You look at the bottom text, the bottom section of this. It says, "Dear friend," so he's writing to his friend Gaius. John, the saint, is writing to his friend Gaius, and he says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." So we know what it means to talk about good health with the body, but how do you have a healthy soul? Well, the start of the new year is an occasion for us to think about making new beginnings or new changes. That's typically what we do when we make promises, we make pledges. We call these New Year's resolutions. For the most part, have any of you got plans for some kind of a New Year resolution this year? Anybody thought about that? Wow, very interesting. None of you, really? I only see one hand. Is that true? Nobody has thought of a New Year's resolution. Now, why do you suppose that is? Because you always blow it, right? You're sick and tired of making resolutions and then just being a failure. So why make one in the first place? Then you don't have to be a failure, right? That's probably the way it goes. Resolutions. What kind of resolutions? I think it's good, though, to have some resolutions. Why do you suppose we fail at them, though? It's not real complicated. Our plan really isn't very organized. Maybe the resolution we have is just way too grand, and it's just too much to make such a big change. We should actually make small incremental changes. That'd be more effective and leading to something later on. Start taking measured steps. So we usually don't have a good strategy to go about this. But resolutions aren't a bad idea to have. So I've been thinking about resolutions, and this is what I'd like to do. In the next few weeks, I'd like to work with you on the need for and the motivation to change. The need for and the motivation to change. Does that interest anybody? Maybe you're sick and tired of changes. You're always hearing these kinds of things. You don't care. Well, I can't help you with that. You work on your own attitude if that's where you're at. But I'd like to try to work with you on the need for change and the motivation to make changes in your life. But we need to have a starting place. So what changes might you be thinking about making this new year? I've got some suggestions for teenagers. I'll start with teenagers. So whether you're in high school or early college, maybe you're thinking better grades. Maybe you're thinking, no, I need to change some of my friendships or some of the groups I hang out with or some people I associate with. Maybe you want to change your image, what other people think about you. Maybe you want to change something about your body or your appearance, your physical looks, your wardrobe. Maybe you want to be more beautiful, more appealing. Teenagers, when I was a teenager, all those things made sense to me. I was up for all of them. Why do you want to make changes like that is the real question. Or what really is motivating you as a young person? Is it your will? Is it your mind? Is it your friends? Something you're afraid of, or something that's been embarrassing to you? What are the motivations? How about grade schoolers, younger kids? What changes would you guys want to do? Read more books? I know. Make your bed, clean up your room every week. I'm sure a lot of you think that is exactly what I want to start doing this new year. How about obeying parents more or stopping complaining? Okay, we got some nods. All right, yeah, maybe that'd work. Okay. What about young career people? What kind of changes are you thinking about making? Maybe they're changes related to your work status, changes to your income, your job title, your position. Those things all affect us. We think about those. We have those plans. We want to see those things taking place. Maybe we want to add a new destination to the list of places that you've been to. How about the others of us? What kind of changes are you thinking about? Improve quality time with, fill in the blank, your mates, your spouse. More quality time with your kids, with a friend. Sometimes we stop and think, you know, that'd be a good thing to do. I think I should do that. Or maybe we would say, no, I think I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop exaggerating. I'm going to stop pretending. I'm going to stop making excuses. Sometimes those are good resolutions, right? We could say, yeah, I think I should take some of that seriously, because they're indicators of something else that's going on. What motivates you to make changes? Is it your will? Is it your mind? Is it your soul? Is it your body? Is it friends or other people? Fears that you have? What is the reason behind the change? Thinking about that and maybe figuring that out will be valuable in being successful about change. Most changes have to do with our body or our living circumstances, like money, status, reputation, a sense of security, wanting pleasures. But when the day comes and people are talking about you or me at our funeral, what will be said about our character or what we have become? What would God say? The brilliant philosopher, modern day philosopher, teacher at University of Southern California, he died late in 2014, about a year and a half ago. His name is Dallas Willard. If you've ever read Dallas Willard's stuff, you have to reread it and then read it again. I've been reading his stuff this last 6 months or so, and it's waist deep, at least. He makes one of this comment. He said, "The most important thing in your life is not what you do. The most important thing in your life is not what you do. It is what you become." The most important thing in your life is not what you do. It's what you become. What are you becoming? I'd like children ages 9 and below to come down to the stage with me for a moment. Anybody who is 9 years old or younger, could you please come down here? I want you, the rest of you, to think about these. You guys can just kind of scatter around here a little bit, okay? Or you can stand next to me. I don't care. I'm a thorn between two roses. Okay. So biology and science teachers tell us that these little people are nothing more than a collection of cells and molecular electronic reactions are bopping. Come on, you can come on down here. So now here's what I want you guys. Can you guys spread out a little bit? Where's you got this bright light? Let's can we cover that? Okay. All right. Now look at your parents. No, your parents. Find your parents, and make a funny face or a weird face. Okay, very good. Okay, so how many of you made a funny face? Why did you do that?
You told me to do it.
Told you to do it, so you're an obedient child. That's perfect. Okay. Why else did you do it? Yeah, that's the first answer. And the second answer. Okay, how about you guys? Why'd you do it? Was it just kind of fun to do it?
Yeah.
I forced you? Okay, well, that's another interesting that you say I forced you. Okay. How many did not make a funny face? I think there was one person that didn't make a funny face. Now, why do you suppose that person didn't make a funny face? Moms and dads? Okay, I've got another project for you guys. So biology and science teachers say we're all just a collection of cells that function for a while and then we're done. Sociologists say, no, that's not right. That's not right. We are social creatures and we need to work together and cooperate. So just being a collection of cells really doesn't answer what we know about life. So I've got a project. This bench is in the wrong place. Shouldn't be down here. And it should be up in that corner by that exit sign up there. So I don't know. Can you guys figure out a problem? Can you solve that?
Later.
How are you going to, you think you can get it up there?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Elevator.
No, let's not do the elevator.
Carry it up the stairs.
Yeah, why not? Try it. Can you do that? How are you going to do it?
Carry it up the
How are you going to do it? Can one of you do it by yourself?
No.
Go to the left. Do not follow that girl. Go to the left. Okay, now what are we observing?
Teamwork.
What else? Sort of teamwork. Some are just kind of in the way. Some are going here. That would be your daughter.
I know.
You kids are fantastic. Way to go. Look at that. They're doing it. All the way up there. Way to go. And then just leave it on the floor right there and then go back to your moms and dads. Hopefully without injury. Yeah, okay, we've got someone giving direction. Wonder who that might be. Okay. We noticed that they are more. Are they still at it? They can come back and, well, maybe they'd rather be out there. That's fine. No supervision. Oni has the children alone upstairs. Poor Oni. Okay, she's got the babies. We're more than just a collection of molecules and cells that relate by electronic impulses. Right? And we're also more than just social beings that do know how to cooperate and function together. There's more to us than that. So what is the real you? Who are you? Where does the soul fit into your definition of who you are? So we'll just wait till you guys can go sit with your moms and dads now. Unless you can read what I've written down here, then you can preach this sermon. No, I'm just kidding. So I'd like you to repeat these words with me. It's from Psalm 103. It's pretty familiar to you. And listen to the first two verses. Very, very simple. And we're going to say these all together. It starts off, bless the Lord, or the other word for bless is praise. So those two words can be interchanged. But it's, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's not on this screen. Okay, just listen to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you say that? Let's say it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's put it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. One more time. Bless the Lord,
O my soul. And all that is within me.
What is giving praise or blessing God? What's blessing God in this? You just said it. It's a four-letter word. It's a nice four-letter word. Your soul, okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul. It isn't O myself. It isn't O my person. It's my soul. What is that? And then it says, all that is within me, what is that talking about? Your intestines? Your heart? What is all that is within you? That is, so that has something to do with the soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with, what is that? That all that we are supposed to bless God with. Once we start getting a handle on this, you're going to have a better handle on who you are. And if you know better who you are, life will begin to be a little bit different, I think. Let's turn to this overhead, and you can turn to your little circles. And I want you to fill in now your circles. In the very center of the circle, usually people put the soul, I don't want to do that. Let's put the will in the very center of your, this is you. In the very center of you is your will. What is this will? Let's look at the next little indicator here. This is our ability to make decisions and make choices. We try to think that our will is kind of our control center. We can make some pretty big decisions with our will. We decide whether or not we're going to marry or who we're going to marry. Am I going to buy that house or not buy that house? Will I take the job or not take the job? Which school should I go to? And we make choices. Those are choices of the will. So sometimes the will, we can recognize when it is functioning. And so the will is our intentions. It's what makes us a person as opposed to a thing. Things don't have wills. Persons do. And so we are persons. We have a will. That's the core. A lot of people put the soul here because they think it is the deepest part, but I think that messes the idea up a little bit. So then let's look at the next circle. Outside the next circle, you want to write another label, and this is your mind. What is the mind? It's the next part. So we're defining the mind now as your thoughts, your feelings, what you are conscious of. The mind desires peace. Romans 8:6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. That's what the mind desires, is peace. So this is our values, this is our conscience, this is what we think about as good and bad. The frustrating thing about the will is the will can't control your mind. How many of you have thoughts running through your head that you don't like and you want to stop those thoughts, but they keep going through it? Your will doesn't control that, right? You get these irritating, disgusting, sometimes perverted thoughts that just fill your mind. And you go, what in the world? Where did that come from? And your will doesn't always have control over that. That's a problem, and that's a conflict. Shouldn't be that way, but it is. That's the difference between the will and the mind and where your thoughts are. Now, the third circle, the one next outside that, this is the one we're all pretty familiar with. This is our body. Well, we know what the body is. This is our little kingdom. This is the thing we seem to have the most control over, but maybe not. So this is our face, expressions we use, our body language. Our actions, those all express things that are going on with our thoughts or with our will. Somebody says something and you don't say anything, but you make a facial response. It's your body doing something, but it's your mind popping out through your face. Here's where the will can be in charge, but the problem is this body is full of appetites, full of habits, full of behaviors. So I'm sitting down and I'm overweight and I'm way overweight and I know that just pretend that's me, and the doctor says I shouldn't be, this is unhealthy for me, you're going to damage your knees and your ankles, this weight is not good for your body and your joints, and it's also not good for your heart because now you've got to try to pump blood through those fat cells, and that's difficult, and so this is not good for you. But you know, there's this fantastic dessert. I love it. It's a favorite one my wife makes. I'm just going to have a little bit more. Now the will is saying, hold it, you moron. Stop that. Don't do that. But my body says, but I love those things. I'll just have a little bit of a bite. And so my mind engages and tries to rationalize it to get everybody calm and to say, hold it, we can do this without any serious damage, and so let's figure it out. You see what's going on here? You sense what's going on with your will, with your mind, your body, and these are different things that we need to pay attention to. Now, the key to all of this is the fourth circle, and this is your soul. And your soul is the thing that attempts to integrate, I'll try to demonstrate, integrates your will, okay, this is your determination, your mind, and your body. Your soul is working to integrate these three things so that there is harmony. The healthy soul does not have these raging conflicts going on. Integration, the core root word of integration is the word integrity. When you see a person of integrity, you notice they're different. There tends to be more consistency, more harmony with their will, their mind, and their body. This is what the soul is trying to do for us. So it works internally, bringing harmony to will, mind, body, and externally bringing harmony to us with others, with nature, and with God. And when the soul is rooted in God, it is like a tree planted by a stream that gets its nourishment from constant waters, and the soul can flourish. Our problem is there's constant conflict, disharmony in our souls. James makes this comment. James chapter 1, verse 8. If you have a pen, it's not going to show up, but you can write this down. He's talking about the person who wants to have faith to believe God, but he can't, and he's struggling with it. And he's like the surf of the sea that goes back and forth, can't settle down. And James says this about him, that man shouldn't think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. A double-minded man. Chapter 4, verse 8, he uses this word again about someone who, I guess I should read it instead of try to recall it. He says in chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God. He'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. The double-minded person has dirty hands, and their heart is not pure. Their heart is not consistent. This word double-minded is the word disuke. Disuke. Di means double, two, split. Suke is our word psyche. It's our word for psychology. It's the word in Greek for soul. Psychology is not the study of self, it's the study of the soul. Psyche is your soul. And so this person is a two-souled person, the double-minded person. He's a split-souled person. He's a broken-souled person. Someone who is inconsistent, who is unhealthy, who does not have consistency and purity, whose hands are dirty. This is the double-minded or the double-souled person. So the soul can be fractured and split and be confusing. That means it is not controlling and harmonizing the will, the mind, and the body. Are you with me? Okay. You got a better idea of what your soul is. Your soul is the deepest part of you, and it is the whole person. That's the phrase to fill in. Your soul, it is two things. It is the deepest part of you, and it is the whole person. It's the deepest part of you because it wishes to control and rule and bring harmony to your will, your mind, and your body. And it's the whole person because there you have integrity and integration. Now, this last verse, if we can flip back to the verse before. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about carrying the cross, and he says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it. And then he raises this interesting question, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And we usually think of this as, what good is it to accumulate all kinds of things and then go to hell? That's what we think this, usually how we interpret this verse. What if it means something different? What good will it do to gain the whole world only to forfeit your soul? These two things are going on at the same time. That is, forfeiting your soul is not a destination, a place where you're going, but the forfeiting of your soul is a condition. It's a sick person. It's a person who's alive, who has accumulated all kinds of things, or who lives very selfishly, but they have silenced their soul, they have destroyed their soul, they have become broken-souled, and so their life is in misery and inconsistency. Think of it that way. You can gain all kinds of things and yet silence or even lose your soul. The opposite is to create a healthy soul and a soul that we are developing. So I need to stop here. And in the next few weeks, I want to talk about how can we cultivate and develop a healthy soul. or what are the things that cause our soul to be corrupt, broken, divided, without integrity? Can we recognize those things? Because I think all of us live with some disharmony, live with some disintegrity, and we need to figure out where is that? What's causing that? And yes, there is something we can do about it, and we can change. So I hope 2016 might become a watershed year. As it started off, I asked how many of you have any New Year's plans. Almost nobody does. So maybe after today, you can stop and say, maybe I really want to be serious about the condition and health of my soul. And I want to see if there are some things I can begin to do differently to cultivate a healthy soul. And I think we can come to some good conclusions, some good plans. And next week, I'd like to begin looking at the four soils, the parable of the sower and the seed. It's not about the sower. It's not about the seed. It's all about the soil. And I think the soil tells us four different types of souls are those soils. And we can have those different kinds of soils going on in our life now. So it isn't about which soil are you. It's in what way is my life like the rocky, like the hard path? What parts of my life are like the rocky area, and what parts of my life are troubled with weeds? Get my attention. Now, this morning is Communion Sunday, and so we're going to take a moment to share the Lord's Supper. There'll be times for you to be sitting quietly, either before you take communion or after. And you might want to sit down and just think, what is the health of my soul like? How would you grade yourself? What effect does your will have over your mind? Is it doing well or not? Just assess yourself a little bit and say, is there something I can do about it, or am I interested in it? Do I care? And just ask God to give you some thoughts about helping you be motivated to begin to work on those changes so that at the end of your life, comments made about you will be about the beautiful person you have become.